Hello, this is John Cleese, and you're listening to the Podcast Network.
But if we're honest, we will look into the mirror and see what the truth is, and see what the truth is, and see what the truth is.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised.
It will be podcast.
Welcome to the No Illusions Podcast for Wednesday, the 30th of November, 2011. My name is Cameron Riley. Welcome to any new listeners. Welcome back to the old-time listeners. Hope you enjoyed the interview that I did a few days ago with Secretary of State Wisconsin, Doug La Follette. Really enjoyed chatting to Doug, and he and I have been corresponding a lot in the background on different news stories, some of which I'll talk about today, and looking forward to having him back on. So let's jump into some of the stories over the last couple of days that have taken my attention. Hopefully you'll find them interesting. This is, of course, the No Illusions podcast, where we try and have a look at the dirty underbelly of what's going on in the world today, so we don't have any illusions about who's really running things and why they're really running things. We try and scratch the surface of the powerful elite that are running the world, and dig underneath the mainstream media stories to get to the heart of what's really going on. This show, as always, is sponsored by PerdomoCigars.com.au. If you're in Australia, PerdomoCigarsAsia.com. If you're outside of Australia, that's my other job these days, is peddling premium hand-rolled tobacco sticks. Some of you probably think that is the most evil thing on the planet, but it's not. Look it up. Search for cigars and health, and you'll realize that cigars and cigarettes have very little in common. Anyway, enough of that. Let's move on. An MP, a Minister of Parliament in Tasmania, which for those of you who aren't from Australia, is the southernmost state of Australia, little island state. The most successful state in eradication of the indigenous population too, by the way. A former Minister of Parliament down there has just been set free after allegedly having sex with a 12-year-old girl. Well, not allegedly. He's been found guilty now. But this is a bizarre story. The jury found him guilty, but the judge basically let him free. So try and figure that out. Basically, Justice David Porter, it says, chose not to jail the former MP and long-serving Glen Orchey mayor, instead handing him a 10-month suspended sentence. Suspended sentence. Reminds me of the first scene of The Godfather. Backdated to November 22nd when he was taken into custody. Martin was last week found guilty of having underage sex with a 12-year-old girl prostituted by her mother and mother's friend in September 2009. He pleaded not guilty and argued from the start he believed the girl was 18. I've seen some 12-year-old girls lately. To pass a 12-year-old girl off as 18, who are you fucking kidding? Seriously. He became involved with her after responding to an ad for her services in the newspaper listing her as Angela, 18, new in town. But the jury found he ought to have known she was underage after the 9 women and 3 men deliberated for several hours on Monday last week. In light of the massive amount of publicity surrounding the case, Justice Porter chose to give extensive reasons for his decision not to jail Martin, who was found guilty on one count of sex with a young person under 17 and one of producing child exploitation material. He was acquitted of a third charge of indecent assault after the jury was unable to reach a verdict and the Crown elected not to pursue that matter any further. Justice Porter accepted expert opinions backing up Martin's assertion the medication he was prescribed for his Parkinson's disease had caused him to suffer from hypersexuality at the time of his offending. The judge said he accepted the submission that if Martin had not been taking those drugs, he would not have become obsessed with sex and hooked on prostitutes, and would therefore not have come into contact with the 12-year-old. Now, this is a completely bullshit argument. That's my expert legal opinion. Okay, I can accept that the guy might have been on medication, and that might have made him hypersexual, and as a result of that, he may have sought out prostitutes to fulfill his sexual requirements. Not a problem with any of that. But there's no excuse for having sex with a 12-year-old girl. I mean, you can't tell me that he wouldn't have been at least suspicious that she may have been underage. And, you know, if you're at all suspicious, then you should be asking to see proof of identification. If you ask for proof of identification and she gives you identification, whether it's fake or not, then you've got a defence. Hey, I asked to see her ID. She showed me her ID. It said that she was of legal age. Your Honour, there you go. There's no way you can tell me anybody is mistaking a 12-year-old girl for an 18-year-old girl. That is just bullshit. So then you've got to ask the question, why is the judge doing this? What's the story with Justice David Porter in Tasmania? Why is he really letting this guy go free when he should be getting a serious penalty? You know, and we've got this strange thing in Australia too with the Catholic Church and no government, state or federal here really wanting to go after the Catholic Church about child molestation. You know, we have the occasional case that makes it through when the victims speak up and are able to, you know, mount a prosecution. But, you know, I've done shows in the past with experts on the subject in Australia who claim that there's probably 30,000 victims of child molestation by the Catholic Church and its operated entities. And, of course, most of them are too embarrassed to come forward or don't feel that their case will be taken seriously or feel that it will, I don't know, dig up old memories that they don't want to dig up. But nonetheless, there is enough evidence from around the world as well as from Australia to suggest that the Catholic Church is innately corrupt and has been hiding sexual abuse, child rape cases inside of their church edifice for decades and decades and decades, that there should be a serious inquiry. But, you know, there's no federal or state politician that has the balls to make that an issue because they're, I'm assuming, terrified of the religious right. You know, there's not a lot of difference between the News Corporation and the Catholic Church in terms of the systematic abuse of power that's been going on. I guess the only difference is the Catholic Church has been doing it for 1700 years, and Rupert's old, but he's not quite that old. Something else that amused me, this is a visual joke, but if you click over to the blog, noillusionspodcast.com, you can get a sense of this. Time magazine, time.com/time/magazine this week has the Time magazine covers from around the world. The cover in the South Pacific, which includes Australia, it's a photo of revolution on the streets, and it says the title is Revolution Redux, and there's, you know, picture of a probably a pseudo-African country, might be Egypt, might be Libya, might be Syria, with a man with a gas mask on, raising his fist in the air behind him, scenes of things burning, violence on the streets. Same cover as in Asia. They're running the same cover in Europe. In the United States, they're running a little cartoon with a piece of red wool, a little man with a red wool heart, with the title, Why Anxiety is Good for You. Why do you think Time magazine are running a different cover story in the US to the rest of the world? The rest of the world, it's all talking about revolution, revolution, revolution. In the US, why anxiety is good for you. Do you think perhaps that Time magazine don't want to be seen to be suggesting that revolution is a positive thing for the people if you live in the US? It's okay to be a revolutionary if you live in Europe, Asia, or South Pacific. Time magazine fully supports that, or Time Warner, I guess. You can take it up a level. Is it AOL Time Warner still? I think it's just Warner now, Time Warner, right? But if you're in the US, perish the thought. We don't have revolution in the US. We just have the 1% telling us what to do. So check that out, time.com/time/magazine, or go to noillusionspodcast.com. Something else I saw a couple of days ago on a blog from the ACLU in the United States. The Senate in the US, apparently, is currently voting on a bill that will direct American military resources not at an enemy shooting at the military in a war zone, but at American citizens and other civilians in the United States itself. The Senate is going to vote on whether Congress will give this president and every future president the power to order the military to pick up and imprison without charge or trial civilians anywhere in the world. Even Ron Paul raised his concerns about the NDAA detention provisions during the recent Republican debate. The power is so broad that even US citizens could be swept up by the military, and the military could be used far from any battlefield, even within the United States itself. The worldwide indefinite detention without charge or trial provision is in S-1867, the National Defense Authorization Act bill, which will be on the Senate floor on Monday, which was Monday this week, I guess. Monday this week would have just gone. This article's dated November 23rd. The bill was drafted in secret by Carl Levin, Democrat from Michigan, and John McCain, Republican from Arizona, and passed in a closed-door committee meeting without even a single hearing. Now, I should look this up, so I'm just going to pause this here and look up to see what happened with it. Well, I can't find any news on it having passed, but the Huffington Post has a little bit more detail on this bill, S-1867, the National Defense Authorization Bill. It says Section 1031 of the bill extends the congressional authorization for the use of military force passed after the September 11th attacks to encompass any individual who has, quote, substantially supported Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or, quote, associated forces, end quote. This is extraordinarily vague. The phrase associated forces is so flexible that it can be used to encompass almost any militant Islamic group in existence, from Indonesia to Nigeria. It might include political parties who share some of the militants' aims but not their methods, like the Hizb ut-Tahrir movement active in Western Europe and Australia. The bill does not set any territorial limits on where this conflict is being fought. The presumption is that US forces can engage terror groups with kinetic weapons systems wherever they find them. London, Copenhagen, Istanbul, and Kampala are all fair game, and to hell with consequences for any citizens of those countries who get caught in the middle. So we'll keep an eye on this one, S-1867. Very, very concerning. Just to wrap up, there's the Project Censored has put out its annual list of the top 25 stories mostly ignored by corporate media in 2011. Just pull a couple out of these that I found interesting. The US military manipulates social media is a story that they've taken from The Guardian from March of 2011. I hadn't heard this one. The US military is developing software that will let it secretly manipulate social media sites by using fake online personas to influence internet conversations and spread pro-American propaganda. A Californian corporation has been awarded a contract with US Central Command, CENTCOM, which oversees US armed operations in the Middle East and Central Asia, to develop an online persona management service that will allow one US serviceman and woman to control up to 10 separate identities based all over the world. The CENTCOM contract stipulates that each fake online persona must have a convincing background, history, and supporting details, and that up to 50 US-based controllers could operate false identities from their workstations. The multiple persona contract is thought to have been awarded as part of a program called Operation Earnest Voice, OEV, which was first developed in Iraq as a psychological warfare weapon against the online presence of Al-Qaeda supporters and other extremists resisting the US military and political presence in Iraq. This effort proved successful and is now being used elsewhere in the Middle East and beyond, with assurances that none of these interventions would happen in the United States, as it would be unlawful to address US audiences with such technology. Of course, how do you stop US audiences being subjected to this when it's all online. You know, I was convinced during the whole Iran Green Ribbon Revolution a year or two ago that there was a heavy CIA involvement. Oh, which reminds me, if you haven't heard about it already, check out the Operation Ajax iPad comic. I'm lining up an interview with the creators of it at the moment, but it's a terrific graphic novel app. It's a single comic that is available on the iPad, and it takes you through the entire history of the US and UK's overthrow of Mossadegh, the democratically elected president of Iran in 1953. Fascinating piece of history, and terrific that they've done it as a comic. So I'm going to be interviewing them, as I said, in the next week or so. Another Project Censored story: more US soldiers committed suicide than died in combat. For the second year, 2010, in a row, more US soldiers killed themselves, 468, than died in combat, 462. If you know the one thing that causes people to commit suicide, please let us know, General Peter Chiarelli told the Army Times, because we don't know. This is a story going back from earlier this year. I think I did remember seeing a little bit about this at the time, but it's fascinating, isn't it? More US soldiers killing themselves than are dying in combat. Oh, man. What the fuck is going on? Last Project Censored story for this morning. US Army and psychology's largest experiment ever. In the January 2011 issue of American Psychologist, the American Psychology Association dedicated 13 articles detailing and celebrating a $117 million collaboration with the US Army called Comprehensive Soldier Fitness, CSF. It's being marketed as a resilience training to reduce, if not prevent, adverse psychological consequences to soldiers who endure combat, tying into our suicide story. Because of the CSF emphasis on positive psychology, advocates call it a holistic approach to warrior training. Criticism arose shortly after the initiative was announced, including ethical questions about whether soldiers should be trained to be desensitized to traumatic events, and methodological concerns about large-scale programs similar to this which have not worked or had adverse effects in the past. Also problematic, this program is adapted primarily from the Penn Resiliency Program, PRP, which had very little success with a non-military population, and now on its first trial run is going to incorporate 1.1 million soldiers. Lastly, the CSF program measures soldiers' resilience in five core areas: emotional, physical, family, social, and spiritual. The spiritual component of the assessment contains questions written predominantly for soldiers who believe in God or another deity. This means tens of thousands of non-believers will score poorly and be forced to use religious imagery exercises that are counter to their personal beliefs, not likely to foster resilience. So there you go. That's something else we should keep an eye on. Comprehensive soldier fitness. Let's breed an army full of brain-dead killing machines, which, you know, is part of my concern with the military generally, you know. Had some debates in the Podomo Cigar Lounge with some ex-military folk recently about hazing in the Australian military. It's this tradition that's getting a lot of press over the last couple of years because people end up getting raped or beaten or physically abused, psychologically abused. But it's all written off as hazing. It's part of the tradition. It builds team loyalty and you trust each other, except when it doesn't, except when it fucks people up. But just this, you know, whole attitude in the military that, you know, sexually abusing somebody or beating them up is a good thing. It's good for them. It breeds toughness. It's you know, wouldn't fly outside of the military. You wouldn't see that in the, you know, and the excuse that the military people use is, well, you got to understand, it's a very different culture. These people put their lives on the line. You know, they have to face death every day, and it's a different culture. And go, yeah, but, you know, cops have to face death every day too. Do you think they go around sexually abusing each other for fun or beating each other up as part of hazing or whatever? There's no excuses for bizarre medieval rituals and excusing it as a different culture. Yeah, sure, these people are putting their lives on the line and they probably need some sort of psychological support. But, you know, stuff that borders on sadomasochism, I don't know how that fits the whole thing. I think it just ends up creating a bunch of fucked up soldiers. Anyway, that's the show for today. Last note, I'm planning a new podcast series for TPN, the first one in a very long time. Very excited about it. Don't want to say too much. Got a meeting scheduled in about an hour to go over it with a couple of experts. But it's going to be a long-term series, a bit like the Napoleon show, but looking at something much closer to home to people living in Australia. Going to be very hard-hitting political, anthropological series. So fingers crossed, I'll be able to tell you more in about a week, but stay tuned. If it comes together, I think it'll be something that I can be quite proud of. Anyway, thanks for listening. Again, the show is sponsored by Perdomo Cigars, P-E-R-D-O-M-O. Just Google it. Check us out if you're interested in such things, and if you're not, forget I ever mentioned it. One last thing. If you haven't started using Stitcher Radio to listen to your podcasts yet, check it out. Give it a go. Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Get it on your iPhone or your iPad. I don't know about Android or Crackberries, but it, unlike iTunes, you don't have to download. It just streams podcasts. You can subscribe, you know, you put them in your favorites. But then you can just stream it. So, you know, I use it around the office when I want to listen to podcasts. It just streams over the Wi-Fi. I also can, if I'm, you know, listening to a show in the office, it will buffer the entire show. And then when I jump in the car, it doesn't need to use the 3G. It'll just play it from the buffer. But it also downloads very quickly over 3G as well. Just depends maybe on your bandwidth limits. But check it out. I think it's superior to iTunes as a podcast player. The other thing that I like about it is you can tweet or Facebook the show that you're listening to straight out of the app, which you still can't do. Even in iOS 5, you can't do that from the iTunes player on the iPhone, which is, they even built Twitter into the fucking, you know, iOS, and but they didn't enable it inside of iTunes, so you can't tweet what you're listening to, which is insane. But anyway, check it out, Stitcher Radio. We're not sponsored by them or anything. I think a few podcasts are, but it's just a good app, good experience. I highly recommend it. You can find No Illusions in there. I don't know if any of the other TPN podcasts are in there yet. I've sent them an email asking them to put us in the directory. But definitely you can look for No Illusions, and I'll put a link in the show notes for today's show as well. Might be a bit late if you're already listening to this on iTunes, but you know, you can check it out for next time. All right, thanks for listening. This is Cameron out.
If we're honest, we will look into the mirror and see what the truth is. And see what the truth is. And see what the truth is.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised.